Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Noah, who is an audio producer for Pray As You Go. In this conversation, he speaks about how his experience of suffering and disappointment became the place where he found God. From a non-Christian upbringing to finding faith at university, he reflects on how his understanding of suffering has shifted and what it means to hold on to hope, both in the future and present. So, Noah, what were your thoughts and experiences of Christianity growing up?
Pretty limited. I'm the only Christian in my family, so there isn't any Christianity or faith in the household. And so really it was just, I went to a C of E Church of England primary school. So we would sort of sing the songs in assembly and, you know, around Easter and Christmas, we would study bits of the Bible associated with those times of year. But like not in a way that it felt like the teachers really believed it, I guess. It was more like a sort of religious studies kind of approach of like, what do Christians believe. So yeah, I think the first time I really encountered like living faith in a meaningful way was when I went to university.
So when you got to university, you said you met people who were Christian and you became friends with them. So how did those friendships at Oxford like shape your thinking?
Like from early doors, it was quite striking. So I met a very good friend of mine, Ross, in Freshers Week, first week of uni, probably maybe the second day. And in one of the first conversations that we had together, he just asked me what I believed. And I was like, good question. Not sure. And so sort of told him I was an atheist and asked him what he believed. And he told me very clearly what he believed and how he believed in Jesus. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure I must have met people of faith before that in my life, of Christian faith and other faiths, but it was the first time having a conversation with somebody where they were just really, really up for talking about it and had real like clarity of thought about it, I guess. And so particularly with him, but also other friends that I met early doors at uni, having that kind of conversation about what we believe about stuff and thinking about life and the universe and all just kind of became part of our normal conversation, you know, on the way back from the pub or whatever. We would just have these kind of conversations, which really challenged me because I realized that my sort of thinking behind being an atheist wasn't really thought through. I just had grown up in a household without faith and so sort of had inherited that, I suppose.
So how did you get from those conversations to becoming Christian yourself?
It was over the course of like a couple of years, really, of having conversations with those friends that turned into sort of sitting down and opening the Bible with them and chatting through bits of the Gospels and things. And yeah, they eventually started inviting me to church services and that kind of thing. And then I guess at the same time in the background, there was quite a lot of difficult stuff going on in my family. Quite a lot of hurt there around my father and things. So I think that context was sending me looking for answers as well in a way that maybe I hadn't gone looking for answers before. And just trying to make sense of all that stuff whilst also trying to understand faith and Christianity. And ultimately, God was very sort of kind. He, I guess, sort of the issue of suffering became my biggest block or something, I guess, like sticking point in coming to faith. And my friends invited me to this church service at St. Ebb's Church in Oxford, which is now my church, where suffering and where is God in suffering was the topic of the sermon. And so at some point in that church service, I came to faith. I can't exactly pinpoint when, but I know at the start that I wasn't. And at the end, I prayed the prayer and wasn't quite sure what happened. Knew that something massive had just happened. But yeah, I didn't actually tell anyone for a day or two because I needed just to sort of process like the bigness of it, I guess, a little bit first.
So what do you remember from that sermon on suffering?
The speaker really helpfully kind of explored suffering by thinking about it first as if God doesn't exist and then as if God does exist. And so it was like a fairly academic sermon. And he was kind of like, if God doesn't exist, but suffering does, then either we have to rely on humanity to sort of help us through suffering, and kind of the trajectory of history is always things improving and humanity relying on itself. And I found that pretty easy to reject, I think, on a large scale, but also just within my family and the suffering that I'd seen caused by parents who should, of all humans, be the ones that are accounted to suffering. So he was like, we either rely on humanity or we decide that nothing really matters and we just kind of live our lives, make the best of it, and then we die and that's it. And again, I guess based on my experience with the difficult things going on in my family, it was like, stuff does matter, you know? I really care about this stuff. Justice matters, suffering matters. And even, you know, as a musician, like creativity matters, God's creation matters. And so then he was like, if suffering exists and God exists, then like, who is God? How can both of those things be true? And he kind of opened the Bible and, it was like my first glimpse, I guess, of Jesus and how he engages with suffering and walks towards those in suffering and walks into suffering himself and cares so deeply about it, but also has the power to do something about it, which is not something I'd found anywhere else, you know? Like family and friends and things have been incredible throughout periods of suffering in life, but nobody has the power to take away suffering, right? And so to find a man who can do that in Jesus, I think was the thing that really changed my thinking.
That for me has really struck me because I have quite a few conversations with people who are either atheist or agnostic, and their argument against God is the fact that there is suffering in the world. Because they're always like, how can there be a all-powerful, all-knowing God that allows the suffering that happens to continue?
Yeah.
But you've now just like blown that, or that sermon has blown that out of the water. It's going to change how I answer that question in future to people.
Yeah. And it's just, I think one of the reasons that's like a difficult conversation to have is that it's like, it's quite a humbling sort of concept, I guess, to flip it from relying on humanity to get us out of suffering to saying, actually, humanity is the reason that we suffer and God is the one who can bring us back out of it, which is the biblical storyline. But yeah, I think when you don't even think that God exists, that's like not what you want to hear, right?
True. So how did seeing God with you in the suffering that you experienced change your perspective?
Yeah, it's interesting to think back to those early days of being a Christian, compared to like more recent suffering that I've been through with Jesus, I guess. But back then, I think it was probably just a sense of hope that I hadn't really had before, of kind of seeing through all of the negative stuff towards the future. And you know, 6 months before coming to faith, I sort of hit rock bottom. And I really couldn't see the future, you know, in quite a literal sense. And it was quite a dark place to be. And so I think to suddenly have found what felt like the answer, you know, of like, here is life. Here is somebody who can, like, not only overturn all the hard stuff in life, but like is bringing about a life that is so much better than we can possibly imagine now. I probably didn't even really understand that then, but I think I was getting a little foretaste of it. That after coming to faith, I told a couple of really close friends who at that point became even closer because we had a shared faith in Jesus, and I hadn't really told anybody else. And so for 3 or 4 weeks, there was just this real sense of joy in being with them, in them telling me about Jesus, in us talking about Jesus and like, how do you pray? And like, which bit of the Bible shall I read now? And, you know, all this like really basic stuff. But it's just like, looking back now, I think it was like a little taste of the new creation and being in fellowship with like God's children.
That's amazing that you had that joy.
Yeah.
Because I was also just thinking about how quite often if you're in suffering, it can be quite hard to find God. And do you have like any thoughts on how people who are maybe currently suffering, how they can go about finding God in that?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. So the service in which I became a Christian was on Job, the book of Job in the Bible. And Job, you know, more than anyone goes through a lot, well, not more than anyone, but Job goes through a lot of suffering. He loses his family and his livelihood and everything he has, and gets to a really dark place. And discovering Job chapter 3 as an early Christian was like, oh, if the Bible says this, then I know that it's not shying away from the badness of stuff, you know? He gets to a point where he's like, God, will you blot out the day on which I was born from the calendar? You know, it's like real dark stuff. Then he goes through many, many long conversations with his friends who are really super unhelpful. And eventually God speaks to him, and it's amazing. And God basically, through a series of like rhetorical questions, says to him, like, I am God, and this is what I can do. This is who I am. And that is the thing that signals a shift in Job's attitude towards his suffering. It's not anything that Job does. It's not like a, how can I be more righteous, or, you know, what can I do to bring about an end to my suffering? It's God saying to him, like, I'm God. I'm so powerful. I like made the whole universe. I can shackle the devil, you know? Can you do any of these things? And it's like a reminder of like, who is God? Who is Job? And so I think, yeah, especially in more recent times, thinking back of, you know, some tricky times, bereavements and things, I think the things that have brought me the most life in those times are things that have reminded me who God is. So as a creative person, I guess I'm really compelled by God's creativity. And so going out and spending time in nature and record, I do a lot of field recording birdsong and stuff, and doing all that kind of thing, it almost feels like a prayer, I guess, because as I'm focusing on what I'm recording, what I'm listening to, I'm seeing God in his creation. I'm seeing his creative hand at work. And it's reminding me, like, God is the bringer of life. God is the one that makes the spring happen every year and sustains these new little chicks in the same way that he's like sustaining me. So I think it's like physical embodied stuff like that that reminds me of who God is, that is the most helpful when things get hard, I think.
you saying about going into nature, when I'm not necessarily suffering, but like I feel, because I live in London, I feel a bit overwhelmed by everything. I was like, I just need to get out into nature. Yeah. And once I'm in nature, I just kind of remember how powerful God is and just remember how much bigger the world is than just what I'm experiencing at that time.
Yeah.
And that really helps me as well.
Yeah, there's something helpfully like belittling about it, isn't there? It's like, I don't know, if I'm experiencing a massive thunderstorm or something, it's like, wow, all this power that's like completely out of human control. This is like awe-inspiring and makes me feel so small, but in a really like reassuring way. I don't know.
I think it also reassures me because I feel small, but I also know that God cares about me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And that he's powerful to take care of us, right? It's like, I feel small, but I'm in the hands of somebody so big, so powerful, and so loving.
So that's kind of how do you find hope? Is it finding it in nature, or is there other ways that you find hope?
I think that is the sort of thing that makes hope feel real for right now. I really like thinking about sort of Jesus' second coming and the new creation and trying to imagine how great that's all going to be, even though it's impossible to imagine how great that's going to be. But, you know, the people who are going to be there who aren't here anymore, and, you know, how God's sort of creation in nature will be so much more perfected than it is now. So there's kind of that like future hope that I guess comes like reasonably easily to me, I guess. Yeah, what's more difficult to imagine is like making that hope real for right now and like tomorrow, you know, when stuff feels really hard and, you know, the mind isn't in a healthy place and it's like, how am I going to like get out of bed today? Or how am I going to go and do this thing tomorrow that, you know, is making me feel really anxious or whatever? I think it's then the physical and for me, like creative stuff that makes God and hope and life feel more real in the moment. So I guess often that'll be music, listening to or playing or writing music. But also, a couple of years ago, in a really difficult time, I took up wood carving, whittling. And again, just like having something really physical to really focus on, which uses mind and body and creativity, somehow makes that hope feel alive, I guess. I guess maybe by, as you just said about nature, like bringing me out of myself and out of the situation I find myself in to like the birds that I'm hearing or the thing that I'm carving or the music that I'm playing or whatever. I think these are the sorts of things that for me like make the hope and the life feel real right now.
It's so true about the doing something practical really like helps you change your perspective, even short term.
Yeah.
And I keep trying to have this conversation with people about like, sometimes they just need to do something creative. And they're always like to me, but I'm not a creative person. And I truly believe like everybody is a creative person because we are created from the ultimate creator. Mm-hmm. And therefore he has passed on that creativity into all of us. But quite often the issue is, and this is probably me going off topic, so if you want to edit this out, that's fine. But quite often the problem is we'll go into art classes when we're like in school and be told, you're not an artist, you're not good at that. Mm-hmm. And therefore like people are just told not to be, like they can't do creative stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you just got to find your outlet of how to be creative. How did you get into like being a creative person?
I don't really know. It never felt like a decision, I guess. I there was always a piano around the house at home for as long as I can remember. And for as long as I can remember, I was always just sort of messing around on it and coming up with little tunes and things like that. I guess music's always been just sort of the thing that I would pursue, you know, when it came time to make decisions at school and university and career and stuff. It was always like, well, this is the thing that I do. I think what you were just saying about everybody being creative, though, is so important. And I think one of the issues is that we've come, as a sort of society, we've come to associate creativity with like goodness or perfection. And I think the times when I feel most free creatively and the things that I find most helpful in times of suffering are the things that I'm really bad at, right? So I took up wood carving. I try and learn some sort of stuff like technique and that kind of thing, but I'm not trying to be a professional wood carver or even a particularly good wood carver. I'm just doing it because I love doing it, and doing it makes me feel good and see the life whenever I am struggling to. Similarly, I just took up the clarinet a few weeks ago. I just had my third clarinet lesson on Wednesday, and I'm rubbish at it, right? Because I'm on lesson three. But it's so fun and it's so life-giving, and that has nothing to do with how good the output is. And so I think, often when people say they're not creative, maybe what they mean is I'm not very good at, you know, playing an instrument or, you know, painting, whatever. It's like, that doesn't matter, you know, like do it anyway if it gives you life. And actually being creative can be like reading a book and using your imagination, or listening to music and feeling something in response to the music. Like all of these things are still creative. There doesn't have to be a tangible output, and it doesn't have to be a perfect output for it to be a creative thing that's life-giving.
I might be putting words into your mouth here, but like, I think when you say life-giving, I find when I'm being creative, a really good way to experience God as well. And I know that, like, a few weeks after my wedding, someone who was there came up to me and said, I'm an atheist, but I found the music at your wedding really beautiful. And I had this experience that I've not had before. And to me, I was like, that's God. But obviously, I didn't say that to them because that's not what they were looking for. But it's just being creative can actually help you connect with God.
Big time. Yeah, 100%. And I think maybe a big part of that as well is that it involves a slowing down of your mind and body to be creative. And it requires your focus and attention in a way that lots of things in life don't permit, you know, don't permit you to just focus on one thing for an extended length of time. And that, for me, can be a great lead into prayer, into talking to God, because I guess that's what prayer is as well, isn't it? It's like sitting down, or not sitting, well, you'd have to sit down. It's like slowing down and focusing on one thing, God, and talking to him and giving him your attention. And I think somehow doing something creative almost kind of activates that feeling or that way of thinking in my brain that then helps me to speak to him.
So how do you feel that your coming to faith has better equipped you when you're going through times of suffering?
It's a good question. I think that having somebody to cry out to in suffering is really important. See it lots in the Bible, in the Psalms, in Job. I've always been blessed with close people in my life who I've been able to go through suffering with. But to now have God, who is always there, you know, always listening, always present, I guess can remove some of the sense of isolation that comes with suffering often, I suppose. And it definitely, faith has also definitely changed my view of suffering, I suppose. I guess linked to that sermon in which I came to faith, and how suffering was kind of framed in that Obviously, suffering is bad, and I want suffering to end in my life and everybody else's life. And one day it will, which is great. But now, given that suffering is a reality, I suppose there's maybe a slight... in my mind, more of an emphasis on like what am I learning? What can I gain from this period of suffering? What is God teaching me through this? In a way that before, I suppose it may have been more like, how do I stop this? And it's not to say that I'm no longer trying to stop suffering from existing, but like, yeah, I think another form of hope that I now see in suffering is like, not just that this will end, but actually like I can grow in this season of life. And actually I can probably grow in this season of life more than when things are great. I think looking back over the last couple of years, it's the times that have been really hard where I've drawn closer to God more than when things are going well. So I think there's a sort of, there's almost a fruit of suffering that I'm more able to see now than I was before, which I guess also is a source of hope.
I agree with that, what you just said about the, I find it easier to find God when I'm going through difficult times. When I'm like going through happier times or easier times, I like, I don't forget God's existence, but I don't have that same feeling that I need to make the same connections in the way that I do when I'm going through those difficult times.
Yeah.
I was also just thinking about how my perspective on what is suffering has changed over my lifetime.
Interesting.
Because in school, I used to think 40 minutes of a maths class was suffering.
I love that.
I don't know how I'm going to get through this next 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But as I've got older, obviously, that is difficult when you're 14 and you're struggling with maths, etc. But my perspective on what is suffering has massively changed. And my world's got bigger as well. So like at 14, I didn't really understand what was going on in the world. To understand my experience then wasn't the whole world. How do we be supportive to people who maybe think what they're going through is suffering, but you don't necessarily, you might have a different perspective, I should say.
I'm thinking of Jesus and how he interacts with people in the Gospels when he was here on earth. And it seems like his approach was always to be there. You know, when people were experiencing suffering or felt they were experiencing suffering, he went and sat down next to them, sort of, as it were, sometimes literally. I can't think of a time where he said like, I think you're all right, really. Or like, I don't think this is so bad. And so, you know, he challenges people on stuff big time. But when it's suffering, it feels like his approach is to come alongside and to be present with the person. So I think, yeah, I think that should be our approach too. I think we should learn from him. And I'm quite a big believer that like, you know, what Simon is going through might not seem as bad as what Jessica is going through, but their lived experience of those things as individual people and their responses to those things are both very real and valid, you know? And I think that comparing suffering or difficulty of situations, like sometimes it gives helpful perspective, but often I think it's unhelpful. And I think it's important for people's experience and their voice in a situation to be heard and to feel heard. I think that's what we see Jesus doing. I think that's what we should be doing too.
So you mentioned that Jesus doesn't come to us and say, like, get over it. And I really love that idea of Jesus coming down and be like, you just need to get over it, because I don't think he would. And earlier you mentioned this idea of us growing through like suffering and disappointment.
Mm.
But if I'm in the middle of growing, of middle of suffering and being or disappointment, I think I just want to be like, but I don't want to grow. That doesn't seem fair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when it doesn't feel fair, what do we do with that?
Yeah, it's a good question and a good sort of challenge to what I said before. And I guess, yeah, a caveat is that I like, if and when I see growth that comes from suffering, it's usually retrospective, right? It's not like I'm in the moment going, yay, this is actually fine because I can see that I'm growing in trust in the Lord or whatever. Like, yeah, that it's more of a sort of reflective thing, I suppose. I think, yeah, and also one more caveat is that I don't think we should always expect to see what God is trying to achieve through suffering. Sometimes we go through stuff and then we get out the other side of it and we look back at it and it's still like, I don't really know what the point of that was, God. It seemed hard and it's still hard and it's, you know, I don't seem to have gained very much from it, if anything. I think going back to Job, it's like seeing God for who God is, seeking that in the midst of suffering rather than seeking an explanation, I suppose. I think it's fine to cry out to God and say, God, why is this happening? I think that's a great prayer that we don't pray enough, probably. But I think probably where I've found more life is the prayer that's like, God, show me who you are, or God, thank you for who you are. I can't see why you're doing this thing in my life, but I know that you're there. And I know that these things are true about you, that you're faithful and loving and powerful and just. And yeah, I think that's kind of what God does in Job, in just reminding Job of who he is. And when we do that, like, not only is it life-giving in the moment, but that in itself is an exercise in trust, to say, God, I don't know why you're doing this or why you're letting this happen in my life, but I know some of who you are and I'm going to remind myself of this. Would you remind me of this? Speaking those truths to ourselves, having others speaking those truths about God to us, which may lead to growth in trust, right? So like, I don't know, I don't want to seem fixated on this idea of growth, but like, I think for me, going through stuff, remembering who God is the most important thing, rather than God, why is this happening? Give me an answer. And sometimes that in itself can lead to growing in the Lord, I think.
So what do you wish you'd known earlier about suffering and disappointment and how that fits with faith?
We sort of touched on it a bit throughout the conversation. I wish I'd known a few years ago how linked the mind and the body and the spirit are, and how looking after all of those things is really important. Particularly in suffering. I think over the last few years, like it's sort of coming through it now, but developed a fairly unhealthy relationship with food and stopped eating for a little while and stuff. And also had to deal with some anxiety and panic attacks and things. And I think these things have really highlighted how interconnected we are as created beings, and how God has given us a body and a brain and a spirit, and to suffer in one of those three aspects of ourselves is to suffer in all of them in many ways. And actually by cherishing one of those things, we feed ourselves as a whole being, you know. So if going through a time of poor mental health and anxiety and things, if I stop eating, that's only going to make things worse. If I, you know, make myself eat even when I don't really want to, that will feed my mind and my spiritual life as well. And maybe this is most true of spiritual life, right? Where it's, if we're suffering in, I found if I'm suffering with physical health or mental health, it's really easy to let the spiritual stuff slip as well and stop praying and stop seeking God Sop sort of seeking fellowship with his people. And that everything gets worse when that happens. So I think, I'm definitely still learning this. But I wish that I'd known how interconnected those things are and how they're really great gifts from God that we should look after and steward well.
And what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for the first conversation I had with my friend Ross, where he asked me what I believed. And when I asked him what he believed and he told me about his faith, the first time I really felt like I was encountering somebody with a genuine faith who wanted to tell me about it because they were excited about it, but also understand me and what I believed. And they were genuinely interested in me as a person. He's still a really great friend. And so it was the beginning of lots of things, that first conversation with Ross. So thanks, God. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you for joining us, Noah.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this conversation is going to stay with me because of Noah's practical ways of finding God in suffering and disappointment. It was a reminder to go into nature and be creative. But also it's going to stay with me because of Noah speaking about how Jesus responds to us when we're experiencing suffering. How about you? We'd love to hear how Noah's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.